This week is Parshas Noach, and obviously the last pasuk at the end of Bereishis, the Noach Motzei Chaim Beini Hashem, connects obviously to our parsha of Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayim B'Dei Roisov. So I saw one of the pamphlets going around. He put down a very nice idea. Parshas Bereishis ends off the Noach Motzei Chaim Beini Hashem. Noach found favor, found chayin in the eyes of Hashem. Why did Noach find chayin? How did Noach find chayin? What's the secret? I don't have it with me, but for homework, take out an Arachayim HaKadosh, look at the last piece on Parshas Bereishis. The Arachayim HaKadosh writes that Noach found chayin b'eini Hashem by doing mitzvahs. It says the Arachayim HaKadosh there is one specific mitzvah, or three or four mitzvahs, that find chayin b'eini Hashem, and Noach did those mitzvahs. Says the Aruch HaKadosh. And what are those mitzvahs? And he says, we don't know. We don't know.
You have to do them all.
Just like we learned that we don't know the schad reward for mitzvahs. Because if we knew the reward for mitzvahs, people would only do the mitzvahs with the greater reward, and leave the mitzvahs with the lesser reward. So too, we don't know which mitzvahs are those that find chayin. Beni Hashem. We don't know which ones they are, because if we would know which mitzvahs find chayin, we would only do those mitzvahs and leave the other mitzvahs. We don't know. So ends the Aruch HaKadosh at the end of Bereishis. Take it inside. The last piece of Aruch HaKadosh at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Interesting idea. That Noach is Motzei Chayin, because there are those mitzvahs that find chayin, but we don't know which mitzvahs they are. And says the Rachaim, if you look at Noach's name, Noach is Chayin backwards, Nun Ches Nun, Noach Motzei Chayin, in his name, you see that Noach was Motzei Chayin, Beinei Hashem. The Sefer Charedim brings down, from the Zohar Kodesh, that Noach found Chayin, Beinei Hashem, because Noach is Kishmoy. Noach is like his name. He was Noach. He was an easygoing person. He was a calm person. Noach was Noach. He's easygoing. One who gets angry, we know it's Kigul Evid Avoid Zor. Noach didn't become angry. Noach didn't become upset. Noach was like his name. And that's why he was Motzei Chayin Ben Yashem. Because Noach was a person who didn't become angry. Just like his name, he was calm. And for that, he was Motzei Chayin Ben Yashem. The Sefer Charedim writes, Noach was Noch B'Diburoi B'Maisa B'Higuchai. In his speech, his actions, his conduct, how he interacted with people, was all b'chein, and because of that, he found chein b'eini Hashem. The Bach brings down that we end off every tefillah with Aleinu l'shameach. Shachris mincha ma'ariv, we end with Aleinu l'shameach. Why do we end with Aleinu l'shameach? Well, praising Hashem, Aleinu l'shameach. And the Bach writes something totally different. The Bach says, you know when we end off every tefillah with Aleinu l'shameach? Because Aleinu is the last part of the tefillah. What happens after Aleinu? We're out the door. We're going into the world. We're going to our everyday activities. We're going to work. We're going home. We're going out into the world. V'yadata hayoyim, v'ashivoyse l'vavecho, ki Hashem hu elokim, v'ashamayim mimau, v'alaretz b'tachas einoid. This is the Bach. We say Aleinu to remember that pasuk. You're leaving right now. You're walking out of shul. You're going out into the world. Don't get angry. Don't get upset if something doesn't work out. Whatever happens comes from Hashem. We say Aleinu at the end of every tefillah as a reminder to ourselves that we should know and take it with us. There's no reason to be angry, no reason to be upset. It's not us. If a person thinks he's in charge, that's when a person has a kinna, he's jealous, he's angry, and so on. But a person who knows Ki Hashem Hu Elokim does not become angry or upset. It all depends how you look at things that happen. If you look at things with the right eyes, the right way, then we understand that Hashem's running the world. When we look at things with our eyes and think that it's us, things appear upside down. And I'm sure everyone heard the story. Yakov Galinsky has a famous story that he said over. I think someone told me last week. So they've heard from somebody last week.
Yakov Galinsky.
That's up. Yakov Galinsky. That in Europe yet, before, the friar put out a newspaper in his town, and they spread their ideology about reform and so on against the Orthodox, so to speak. They spread their ideology. And people were reading it, and it wasn't having a good effect. So the Frumma came out with a Frum paper. Came out with a Frum paper in Yiddish, a Frum paper that came out with. And Yaakov Galinsky's mother every day would read the paper. But not only did she read it for herself, she read it to the neighbors. To the neighbors who didn't know how to read. So they would come to his house, and she would take out the newspaper, and she would read them the paper. She would read them news and hashkof and articles from the paper.
Propaganda.
And this way, what?
Propaganda.
The Jewish paper. Seems one day, one of the ladies picked up the paper before Yaakov Galinsky's mother came in to read the paper. She opens the paper, she looks in, and she starts screaming, "Oi, Gewalt! Oi, what a terrible tragedy!" And she's screaming very loud. And Mrs. Galinsky comes running and says, "What happened? What's the tragedy?" And the neighbor shows her a picture of a boat upside down in the water, a big boat. The boat sunk in the water, and how many people must have died, and such a tragedy happened. And his mother takes the paper, looks at it, and realizes that she's reading it upside down. Turn the picture the right way, and suddenly the boat is on top of the water, and everything is fine. And the article was about a luxury liner, a luxury boat, that was built and was set to sail. And there's no tragedy. So Yaakov Galinsky from this story said, isn't that all of us? Look at the world. We don't understand why things happen. We see the boat upside down. It's all upside down. And we look at it, tragedy, it happened. But if we realize we're looking at it the wrong way, look at it the other way around, take the picture and turn it upside down, suddenly the boat is right side up and everything appears to be good. It doesn't minimize if Chas v'Shalom tragedy happens that we shouldn't cry over it, we shouldn't feel sad over it. Of course we have to. But we have to realize that there's more behind the scenes than we know. We only hear and see what we could see with our physical eyes and what we hear with our physical ears, but we don't understand everything happening behind the scenes. Everyone knows what happened in Eretz Yisrael one day after another this week, every day another story, and no one has an explanation why. We can't explain why. We look at it, we feel bad. But it doesn't mean we give up. It doesn't mean we have to be yush, chas v'shalom. We see the boat upside down. But ultimately, in Shemayim, the boat, it's all part of the cheshbon. It's all for a reason. And ultimately, it will bring us to the gula and it will lead to good. So in the tragedy itself, we have a little bit of a nechama that look at it from a different angle, look at it right side up, and suddenly things change. Of course, we misbalo that we shouldn't have to see it upside down. We should be able to see it right away up, right side up. But if we do have to go through days where things are upside down, it's only a preparation for one day for it to turn around, that will be zeicha to the tegula b'meheri b'meinu amen.
Oh,
amen.
Was that thing to pasuk in the Pasha?
Not just noyach, easy kas, and taking things easy. The chidah brings down. We take the last letters of the words noyach ish tzaddik. Noyach ends in ches, ish ends in a shin, and tzaddik ends in a kuf. Cheshek. You know noyach was a tzaddik because he had a cheshek. He had a desire to serve Hashem. A person wants to be a tzaddik. You know what you need. The last letter of Noach is a ches. The last letter of Ish is a shin. The last letter of kuf of tzaddik is a kuf. Chido, cheshek. A person wants to be a tzaddik. Need cheshek. A person has to desire that brand, that brand to serve Hashem. We all know the first pasuk of Hashas Noach, a revolved pasuk. That's the pasuk tells us, Eila told us, Noach ish tzaddik, tamim hayu b'day raisov. The pasuk calls Noach tzaddik tamim, a complete tzaddik. And later on, right after Sheni, Perik Zayin pasuk Aleph, Hashem says to Noach, boy ato v'chol beischa atheva, ki yoischa reisi tzaddik l'fanai medar hazeh. I see a tzaddik in front of me. Noach is only called a tzaddik, not a tzaddik tamim. And Rashi tells us, why not? Why in the first pasuk is Noach called a complete tzaddik, a tzaddik tamim, and a pasuk Vayeshev Sheni Perik Zayin pasuk Aleph is called only a tzaddik and not tamim? Says Rashi, famous Rashi, V'loinema tzaddik tamim mikan sha'imrim miksas shvachai shel adam b'fanov v'kulai shelai b'fanov. When you're praising a person, it depends. If it's not in front of him, then you say all of his shvachas. But when you're in front of him, you can't say too much. It's going to lead to gaiva, and it's not good. So you say mixas. So the first pasuk, the Torah is describing who noyach is to us. Man who noyach is. Tzadik tamim. But when Hashem is speaking directly to noyach, like in pasuk, in Perek Zayin, pasuk Aleph, by Yom Hashem, Hashem says to noyach, he calls noyach only a tzadik. The Yosef Cairo, the Beis Yosef, says over another pshat why Noach was called tzaddik tamim in the first pasuk, and why he's referred to only as a tzaddik in the later pasuk. And he says very nicely, Noach lived through two famous generations. Noach lived in the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlogah. Noach died after the Dor HaFlogah. So Noach lived through two famous generations that were unfortunately sinners and corrupt people. He lived through the Dor HaMabul, and he lived through the Dor HaFlogah, built the Migdal Bavel to go fight against Hashem. Says the Beis Yosef, beautiful. A tzaddik is a title given to somebody who conquers his Yetzahara for Arayis. Somebody who conquers the Yetzahara for Zanus for Arayis is called a tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef is known as Yosef HaTzaddik. Why? Because he had an Nisayon with Eishes Potiphar. He overcame his Nisayonis. He's known forever and ever as Yosef HaTzaddik. Someone who overcomes such challenges is called a tzaddik. A person who has the Siyanis in Amunah, in belief in Hashem, and overcomes his Siyanis, he's called Tomim. Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Should be complete with Hashem. Says Beis Yosef, beautiful. Noach lived through both of those challenges. The test of the Dor HaMabul, among the many Averis he did, was the Avera of Zanus. And that's why the Mabul's 40 days Rashi brings down. Kenegad Arboim Yom of Yitziras Havalad. Because they were Mazana, and so to speak, they forced the Kodesh Baruch Hu to form children out of Zanus. 40 days it took for Yetziras Havalad. The Mabul was 40 days. Noach overcame that Nisayon. He overcame the Nisayon of Zanus. He's called a Tzaddik. Migdal Bavel was a Nisayon in Amunah. They wanted to rebel against Hashem. Nimrod, he was the first. He wanted to rebel. The Medrash brings down, they built a tower, and they took axes. They wanted to come with axes to go fight against Hashem. Go fight against Hashem. Nisayon in Amunah, Noach was not part of it. He overcame that Nisayon. He was Tamim. So when the Pasuk at the beginning of the parasha says, it's Tzaddik Tamim, the Pasuk is describing to us who Noach was. Eila told us, these are the generations of Noach. Throughout Noach's life, he had many tests, and he passed. He was a Tzaddik Tamim, because he overcame the Nisayon of the Dor HaMabul, and the Nisayon of the Dor HaFlogah. But later on, after Sheni, we're discussing only the Mabul. Hashem says to Noach, you and your family come to the teva. That's discussing entering the teva, which is the Mabul. Noach, for the Dor HaMabul, overcame Arayis, is called a tzaddik. That's why later on it calls Noach only a tzaddik. Very nice insight from the Beis Yosef. Rashi, the first pasuk of it, tells us the difference between Noach and Avraham Avinu. Noach, the pasuk tells us, he was ish tamim hoya b'day roisav in his generation, and as helakim as halach Noach. And what does Rashi tell us? Rashi tells us b'day roisav yesh me rabbeinu darshim oisay l'shvach. There are those rabbanim darshin this pasuk for the praise of Noach. Kol shkein had he been in the dar of tzaddikim, the dar of Avram, he would have been a greater tzaddik. But even in his generation, corrupt and evil generation, he stood out as a tzaddik. But had he been in a better door, he would have been a bigger tzaddik. Others darshanu genai, that only because he was in his generation, with such rishoyim, he was a tzaddik. But had he been in a better generation, Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been a tzaddik at all. He was only a tzaddik in comparison to the door. Good. B'day Raisov. Everybody knows Noach and Avram, the difference between them was that Noach was not mispalel for the Dor HaMabul. Noach did not daven anywhere that Hashem should save the Dor HaMabul. Noach went ahead, he followed Hashem's instructions, built the teva, he went in, but we don't find anywhere Noach tried to prevent the Mabul. Avram, on the other hand, when it came to Sodom, and Hashem wanted to destroy Sodom, and he tells Avram, what did Avram say? If there are 50 tzaddikim, will you save the city? 45, 40, 30 for three cities, 20 for two cities, 10 for one city. Avram tried and tried. He wasn't successful, but Avram tried. Avram went out and tried to save the world. Avram was about chesed. People came to him. He taught the world about Hashem. who was Megayah Geirim, Avram was Megayah the men, Sarah was Megayah the ladies, Noach was more of a private tzaddik. Avram was more of a somebody who served the tzibur.
Well,
the Afal Pikain, Stein was bad also. And Avram tried. The famous analogy is brought down that when it's cold in the room, it's cold in the house, there are two ways to become warm. One way is to put a coat on and become warm. The other way is to light the fire, and the heat of the fire warms up the house. What's the difference? If you put on a coat, it helps only for the person wearing the coat. Tzaddik that helps. It only helps for the person wearing the coat. Everybody else stays cold. But if he lights the fire in the house, not only does it warm him up, it warms up the whole house. Avram was like a tzaddik, he lit the fire. He warmed everybody up. Avram, Noach, was put on a coat, he protected himself, but it didn't warm up, it didn't protect the whole generation. Person has to know when it's time to go out and to warm up other people to serve the tzibur. I saw a story this week. In one of the books that my children were reading, I picked it up, and I saw an unbelievable story. And I said, we need the Thursday night, we'll say it over.
Goodbye.
Story about the Taz. I didn't know the story, maybe it's a famous story. Story about the Taz. The Taz stands for Turei Zov, but a Pirish on the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch has a Taz on the side.
Pirish on the
Torah.
Shulchan Aruch? Yes. Yeah. It's Pirish on the Torah, the Taz.
His name was David Halevi Segel, was the name of the Taz. The Taz lived in the times of Tachbetat, the year 1648, 1649, which were the Crusades, the Cossacks, which were very terrible to Kufa. His Sefer was published before that, was printed before that, and he was known as the Taz. And in his town where he lived, people gave him great covet. He was known as one of the Gedolim of the generation. The Gezeres of Tach and Tat came out, and the town was attacked. The Taz and his wife ran away, and they were wandering around from town to town. And the Taz and his wife made up that since nobody knew who the Taz was, there weren't pictures like they are today, and we didn't have everything well known, and only the people in his area knew who he was, and now they were far away, they were wandering from town to town, that the Taz is not going to be Megala his identity, who he is. And his wife agreed. And this way, they'll live a simple life. The Taz felt that if he lived a life without all the COVID and a life without all of the position and the greatness that he had beforehand, he'd be able to serve Hashem better, Atzanivos, without all the COVID. And he and his wife made up that they're not going to be Megala to reveal their identity. And that's how they went from town to town, wandering around, and nobody knew who the Taz really, really was. They come one day into a small village, a small town, and like usual, the Taz finds his home in the Beis Medrash, and they found a little place to live, and the Taz goes to learn, and his wife is home. A few weeks go by, and the Taz sat quietly in the Beis Medrash learning, didn't reveal himself, nobody had any idea that in the middle of that town was sitting the Gadol HaDor, the Taz. Comes home one Friday, Erev Shabbos, and he finds his wife crying. He asks his wife, what happened? So she says, I'll tell you the truth. There's no food in the house for Shabbos. There's nothing here for Shabbos at all. But she says, that doesn't bother me. She says, we made up the Nachman Megala who we are, and I don't want you to tell anybody who you are, but what bothers me is that I had borrowed money the past few weeks from the neighbors, and it's time to pay the chayv back. I don't have money to pay back the chayvis. I'm ashamed to go outside to see the neighbors. That's what bothers me. So the Taz hears that. He says to himself, it's not right that I sit in the Beis Medrash the whole day. My wife is worried about the chayvis and food. Comes next week, I'm going to find a job in the town, and I won't tell anybody who I am. Taz hears, and the shlachtois, they're looking for a menakeh, somebody to trade a bit of meat, to take out the gidin, the veins, and so on, to trade a bit of meat, and a position is open. The Taz knew the halach is cold, and the Taz hears the position is open. Next week, he goes down to the shlachtois, he applies for the job. No problem. He becomes the menacher in the shmachtos. The Taz notices that every time there's a shayla on a behemoth, on a chicken, they send the shayla to the Rav, and every time the psak comes back, treif. Taz is there and knows every shayla that they ask, treif. Next shayla, treif. Taz is a little bit, Impossible. The kids there, it seems the Rav of the town knew halachas, but Hilchus Treifus wasn't his forte. So whenever Rashi was, yes, he was machmir, and he passed in Treif. The Taz, many times the Shaila rolls on the spot. He knew the halacha. He wouldn't bother with the Shaila. He'll pass. The kids, the Sheikh them saw that the Taz was pretty confident. Didn't have too many Shailas. So they started to see that the Taz knows his halachas. Next time they had a Shaila, why bother sending it to the Rav? They asked the Taz. Taz looks at the behemoth, and he says, oh, the lungs, did this animal drink before? If it drank, then that's why the lungs look the way it does. Kosher, Taz passes kosher. Shechtim are very happy, they have a poisek on hand, no need to go to the Rav. And not only that, but the Taz passed in kosher. Next day is a shiloh with a chicken, kosher. Okay, good. Another shiloh, kosher. A few weeks go by, and the Rav realizes, you know, nobody's coming to me with any shilohs. The Shechtim aren't coming with any shilohs anymore. What happened? Every chicken is kosher. Every behemoth is kosher. There's no shilas. So he sends a shamus to the shlachtois to find out what's going on. The shamus comes to the shlachtois and he says to the shlachtim, tell me, the rov's bothered. Nobody came the past few weeks with any shilas. Are there any shilas? Why not? So they say to him, oh, because we have a new menacher here in town. He does the treasuring of the meat and he knows the stuff. He's a big talmud chacham. He's a baki b'halacha. And we ask him all his shilas, all of our shilas. And not only that, but he knows how to say kosher also. And he passed his shilas. And that's why we didn't go to the Rav. The shamus gets very upset. Chutzpah! He says to the Taz, chutzpah what you are. There's a Rav in the town, and you're passing shilas? What authority do you have? Who are you? Who do you think you are? I'm taking you to the Rav right now. Takes the Taz, says, come with me to the Rav. Bring him to the Rav. Tells the Rav, this man here is the reason why nobody's asking Shilas, because he's passing in his own authority, and we have to teach him a lesson. The Rav gets very upset. Who gave you authorization to Paskin? Who are you? And the Taz, of course, is not Megala anything at all who he is. They ask him his name. He says, David, that's it. They don't know who he is. They call the Bezdin and the Zion Tuvei Ha'ir to come, and the whole committee comes down. And they hear that the Taz was passing Shilas without authority. He's undermining the Rishus of the Rav. And they pass him that he has to be punished. What's the punishment? He has to sit in the corner of the shul for 3 days. Well, in the corner. And everybody could walk by and spit at him if they want. And when they spit at him, they say, so happens to a person who undermines or passes without the authority of the Rav. They took the Rav very seriously in those days. Okay. So the Taz is punished, and the next morning he's sentenced to sit in the corner. Now Taz was not dressed. He was dressed like an oni. He's sitting in the corner. And the word spreads throughout the whole town that there was a mechutzah for passages. And everybody comes to see the Taz sitting in the corner. And even the little children come, and everybody hears about the man sitting in the corner. The third day, a girl 7 years old comes to the shul with a chicken to ask the Rav a shaila. She comes to ask Rav Shaila on the third day. She comes into shul. The Taz is in a corner, and people were in the shul, and the Rav is sitting there. And the girl walks over to the Rav and says, my mother sent me with a shaila. Here's a chicken. Is it kosher or treif? And the Rav looks at it. Treif. Treif, no good. And the girl starts to cry. The girl starts to cry. She doesn't say anything, but in her mind, she's thinking, this is the only chicken that we have. We didn't have a good meal a whole week. Finally, we were able to afford one chicken, and now it's treif. We can't eat it. And the girl is very, 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 very tzabrochen, very, very upset. She's crying. Okay, the Rav said, treif is treif. Can't do anything about it. She walks out of the shul, and as she walks out, she passes by the Taz, sitting in the corner. The Taz, she looks and she says, oh, that's the man that they're punishing. And she looks and she says to herself, you know, Hav Rachmanis, he might be wrong, but it's really a pity he has to sit in the corner. And she starts, and she says, you know, I have rachmanis on myself also. And she starts to cry. The Taz asks her very gently, what's the matter? Why are you crying for? And she says, you can't help me. You can't help me. And the Taz says, tell me why you're crying. I'm sitting here in the corner. You're crying. Tell me why you're crying. And very nicely she tells the Taz, because we had a shayla on the chicken. We came here with the chicken to ask the shayla. It's the only meal that we had the whole week. There's literally no food in the house. All we have is one chicken. And the Rav Paskin, the Taz knew the answer already, and the Rav Paskin Shreif. The Taz says, let me see the chicken. She says, see the chicken? What do you do with the chicken? He says, let me see the chicken. She sells a Taz a chicken. Taz looks at it. Kosher 100%. No shame. Glad kosher 100%. If it's a bone was swollen, the Rav thought it was broken. It came swollen from the cooking. It was kosher. The Taz says 100% it's kosher. So the Taz says to himself, what am I going to do? If I tell her to go back to the Rav, that the beggar in the corner said, it's kosher, forget it. They'll put me in chair another week. What am I going to do? And Taz doesn't know what to do. And the Taz starts mumbling to himself, and he says, maybe I should reveal who I am in order to save this chicken. Maybe I should reveal who I am in order to save this chicken, so this girl and her family would have a chicken to eat. And the Taz says, I'm not sure what to do. And the girl sees that Taz is like in a dilemma what to do. And she says to him, what's the matter? Can I help you? And the Taz says, the chicken is kosher, but the Rav is not going to accept it. So the girl says, if it's kosher, there must be a way that the Rav, we could convince the Rav. The Taz thinks, how can I convince the Rav it's kosher? And the Taz hits him. It's Beferish a Taz. It's in the Sefer. Beferish a Taz. That this chicken is kosher. He doesn't know what to do. So he says to the girl, it's written in the Sefer. One of the Sfarim, the chicken is kosher. So the girl says, no problem. Tell me which Sefer. I'll bring it to the Rav and I'll show him that's kosher. The Taz says, well, it's a pretty big Sefer. It's going to be a little hard to find. She says, tell me where it is, what page it's on, and I'll go and tell the Rav what page to find the Pesach on, and the chicken will be kosher. So the Taz says to her, do you have a good memory? You'll be able to remember? And she says, let's try. Taz tells her, go to the Rav and tell him to look in the Turei Zohar, which is the Taz, Simen Lamed Dalet Sif Gimel. Look in the Turei Zohar, Simen Lamed Dalet Sif Kotan Gimel. That's where he should look, and then the chicken will be kosher. So the girl says, okay, Simen Zohar, he says, no, Turei Zohar, they practice a few times. He says to the girl, repeat it 5 times. She repeats it over and over. Two rezov, simen lamed dalet, sif katan gimel, over and over and over and over. And he says to her, go to the Rav and tell him to look in the two rezov, simen lamed dalet, sif katan gimel. The girl goes back to the shul. She goes back to the Rav with the chicken. The Rav sees her. The Rav says, I told you, it's treifer ready. But the girl says, no, but if you look in a certain sefer, you'll see it's kosher. The Rav says, sefer? What sefer? And the 7-year-old girl says, the two rays of Simen Lama Dalad, Sif Katan Gimel. And the Rav says to her, like, you know, like you had a nevuah, what happened? and by now the people around the Rav, everyone already is listening in. The 7-year-old girl is telling the Rav where to look. And she says, no, take a look. And the Rav says, okay, they take down the two rays of. And they look in Simon Dalat, Sifkot Gimel, and Kachava, right there, the Taz discusses the exact case, and it's kosher. And he tells the girl, you're right, it's kosher, I made a mistake, the chicken is kosher, go home, eat the chicken, it's kosher. The girl puts a big smile on her face, and she's running out the door. She's just about to leave the shul when the Rav calls her back. Finally hit the Rav, what happened? And the Rav says to the girl, tell me, how did you know this Taz? Where did you find this Taz? And she says, where did I find the Taz? The man sitting in the corner told me to look at the Taz. The man in the corner, and the Rav looks, and who's sitting in the corner? The Taz himself, unknown to the Rav, unknown to anybody. And the Rav begins to, the wheels start turning, and he's getting a little suspicious that things aren't the way they look. He tells the Shamus, tell that man in the corner to come here. Brings him to the Rav, and the Rav says to him, what's your name? He says, David. My name is David, like he said all over. And the Rav says to him, what's your family name? And the Taz hesitates. Doesn't want to begal who he is. And the Taz says to the Rav, do I have to tell you? And the Rav says, I'm Geyser, as a Rav of this town, but you must tell me your family name. And he tells him, Segel. Suddenly hits the Rav, David Segel. Taz, Terezov, Menaker, the whole picture falls together and the Rav turns white. And he realizes that this man sitting in the corner who they were punishing was none other than the Taz himself. And the Rav says, you're the Taz? And the whole town, everybody comes running and the secret is out that the Taz was here and was here in the town. And the Rav asks Mechila and he starts crying in front of the Taz. And they call the Bezdin and the Zion Tuvah here together. They remove the Chay, remove the punishment and they all ask Mechila. And the Taz says, the truth is, it's my fault, because I didn't want to be Megala who I was, and you had no way of knowing who he was, Machalach, and everyone's b'shalim. Except now when the Taz went home, he had a whole crowd following him, and his identity was no longer hidden. His wife sees the whole parade coming to the house, and she realizes that his identity was blown, his cover was blown, and that now life is back the way it used to be, everyone knows who they are. And the Taz comes into the house, and the Mechabed him, and so on. When they have, after the crowd leaves, the Taz tells her the whole story. He says, this is what happened, and I had no choice. The only way I could save that chicken for that girl and her family is by being Megala who I was. And the Rebbetzin says to the Taz, she says, was it worth it? Hey, you finally was zeichet to what you wanted to do all along, to live a life of being anonymous, being humble, without the COVID, and you felt that you could serve Hashem so much better without having your identity known. Was it worth it to give up your dream and your avodas Hashem just for one chicken? And the Taz answered and he said, it's true that the past few months where I was quiet and anonymous and humble, I feel I rose my avodas Hashem without all the COVID and all the publicity at times to become greater. And it's true, I feel that if I would have had more time, I could have risen to greater heights. But all of that would have been worthless if I couldn't save that chicken for that girl and her family. For that girl and her family, for them to have that one chicken, it was kedai to give up all of my avodas Hashem and all of my dreams and my avodah just to save that chicken for that girl and her family. And so ends the story. Okay, nothing more need be said. The story is a very, very, very powerful story. We have to realize that it's not about us. Where am I holding? It's about helping somebody else. Where's my avodas Hashem? Want to measure your avodas Hashem? How did you help Yenim? What did you do for somebody else? How did you help that person? The Taz gave up all his madrigas that he reached in order to help out that girl and her family to save that chicken.
Read a story about
that. I saw it in one of the children's books. I picked them in the house there. I just told them the story.
Is it the actual Monodala Gill?
I wanted to look it up. I didn't look it up.
In Yoredam.
It could be I wrote it down wrong. I wrote down something else called Gimel, but I think that's the way the story was brought down. Supposedly the story was written by a descendant of the Taz. I'm not sure. Is it Taz or a descendant of the girl? Maybe it was one of her children. I'm not sure. I'll have to look again. Where the story comes from? But it seems to be it comes on an authentic source all the way back. But I hadn't seen the story before. But the story speaks for itself. Okay, just one more pasuk. It's actually late. The pasuk says later on in Perichov, pasuk Chav Aleph. The story tells us after the Mabul, Noach brings Karbonos. Vayorach Hashem Esreach Anichayach. Hashem smells the smell of the Karbonos. Hashem says to his heart, Hashem says, I won't curse the earth anymore because of people. A person has a Yetzirah min Urav. And Rashi tells us, when does the Yetzirah come? What does it mean, min Urav? So Rashi tells us, from the time that he's born, from the very beginning, says Rashi, this is Rashi min Urav, min Arav Ksiv. Mishaninar Watsais Mimeimai. From the time he shakes, he becomes loose from his mother. He leaves his mother, Nasan Ba Yetzahara. The Yetzahara is given to him. He has the Yetzahara already. So from the time a person is born, or even before, he has already the Yetzahara.
No, you said when he leaves his mother.
Yeah, when he's born. When he's born.
When
he's born. When he's born. When he leaves, when he's born, person has a tough job. As soon as he's born, he has his chavrusa already with him. He has the Yetzirah with him. Ki Yetzirah Ha'odom Ra Minu. I'll come back to the pasuk in a minute. I have so this week also. The person once came to the Rebbe. The way the story went, I didn't say who the Rebbe was. He came to the Rebbe, and he said to the Rebbe, I need a bracha. Panasa, I need a bracha. So the Rebbe asked him, are you kaveh itim v'tayrah? Do you set aside time to learn every day? So the person said to the Rebbe, me, learn? What's my learning worth? My learning is not worth anything. Hashem has malachim. The malachim, oh, they know how to learn. The malachim know Torah, they're in Shemayim. Hashem wants their learning. What does Hashem want my learning for? It's not worth anything. Why should I bother to learn? The Rebbe changes the topic. The Rebbe says to him, What do you do for a living? What do you do for a parnasa? He says to the Rebbe, I'm an artist. I paint, I draw, I'm an artist. The Rebbe says, tell me, what's the most beautiful picture you ever saw? What's the prettiest, beautiful picture you ever saw? He says to the Rebbe, I saw a beautiful painting of sunset over the ocean. The sun setting over the water, over the ocean. Beautiful painting. It sold for millions of dollars. It's a beautiful painting. The Rebbe says to him, why is it worth so much? You want a sunset? Take a picture. And the picture is the real thing. You need a painting? Take a picture. And the picture will capture the sunset over the ocean. And you have it. Why is the painting worth so much? And the artist says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, you don't understand. A picture, anybody can take. The camera is the main. A painting is a talent. It's work. It takes hours, days, weeks, even years sometimes to paint. And every stroke has to be perfect. Every color has to fit in just exact. It has to match. And if the artist makes one mistake, he ruins it. He has to start over again. So much kaiches go into it. So much talent goes into it. And not everybody could do it. Only one in 1,000 people could do it. And that's why it's worth so much. It takes so much effort and so much kaiches into it. And so much dedication, that's why it's worth so much. And the Rebbe looks at him and says, Hashmei lo oznecha ma sha'ata moitzi mipicha. Just listen to what you said. Listen to what you said. Your learning, you know why it's worth so much? Because your learning comes with dedication. Your learning comes with that extra effort. The malachim learn. Malachim don't put in any effort. That's how they're created. That's what they do. They don't have any effort. They don't have any challenges in life. They don't have any tests in life. That's who they are. A human being has challenges, has tests, situations, things are upside down, and a person has to overcome it. When a person is able to dedicate himself, is able to use his strength, use his kaiches to be able to learn, that learning is worth much more to Hashem than the malach's learning. A malach is a robot. It's programmed. A person who has a yetzahara and is able to overcome it, that's worth a lot more. The artist's painting is worth a lot more than the picture. A person who learns, a person who's able to overcome his Yetzirah and use his strength to fight, that's worth a lot more to Hashem than the Malach, than the Malach awards.
Ki Yetzir
Pasuk Chof Aleph, Tes Chof Aleph. The Kedusha Sulevi says in this Pasuk, Lo'oysif oid l'kala oid es ha'adam. I won't continue to curse the earth, ba'avur ha'adam, because of people, ki Yetzir leiv ha'adam ra min urav. The Pasuk at first glance doesn't really explain. I won't curse the earth because a person has a Yetzirah. Fakat. If anything, that's a reason that we should be punished because we're bad. What does the Pasuk mean because you have the Yetzirah? Says the Kedusha Sulevi, no, it's not what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means Ba'avur Ha'adam because a person fights to overcome the Yetzirah. Hashem says, you know why? When people do bad, you know why I won't punish? I won't curse the entire earth. Ba'avur Ha'adam because a person works hard, because he has to overcome the Yetzirah. When I see a person who has an assignment and he overcomes his Yetzirah, he lives up to the challenge, and his chus, the world is saved. It's not because of the Yetzirah, but rather because of the people that fight the Yetzirah and they overcome it. We all have our Yetziraras, and everyone's Yetzirah is different than somebody else. We can't judge a person. Everybody has their own challenges, their own situations, their own tests in life. And Fakat, it's brought down, the Bilzer Rebbe, somebody wants to ask the Bilzer Rebbe, what's a person's tafkid in life? And he said, when you see the same Nisayon coming over and over and over again to you, your tafkid is to overcome that Nisayon. It's being sent to you over and over and over again, because your job is to overcome that challenge in life. We all have our own Nisayonis, we all have our own challenges. Our job is not to be like the Malachim. Our job is to rise above, we have the Kayach to rise above it. Befrat, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam, comes to learn, Talmud Torah is schar, Talmud Torah is k'neged all the mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael needs this chusin, especially now. And I'm sure someone else said this, but someone mentioned to me this week, if you want to agree with it, you can. If you want to disagree with it, you can. And he said that this week was still Bein Hazmanim. Yeah. And the learning in Eretz Yisrael is not that, the learning around the world is not that stark, it's still Bein Hazmanim. Comes Rosh Chodesh, this man starts, the Torah will pick up, that's when Klal Yisrael have most chusin. Okay, fine. The bottom line is that we have to do what we can. Our army is not the guns and not the bullets and not the tanks. Our army is the Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov, Ayidayim Yedei Esav, And we have to use the kol. The stronger the kol becomes, the weaker the yadayim, or the weaker the yadayim become. Let's be mechazik ourselves and learn, and we should be zeicha that our learning should find chayin b'ni Hashem. Should be zeicha to see the gula, to see the picture right side up, and to see the gula shrem meheir v'yemenu amen.